Mike Henry, Carbondale Mayor's on the other end of the line this morning. Michael, how are you this morning, pal? Good?
Hey, I'm great today, Tom.
Good. That's what I like to hear. And so much to talk about, so if I seem like I've been on rush today, I hope you'll understand.
Oh, yeah. No problem.
One is you are getting together, or you are part of a group of mayors that wants to push back when it comes to Springfield. It's the salt taxes we're talking about, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's a local government distributed fund, and also a collection fee that the state decided to impose last year for collection of local taxes.
So, right.
Yeah, we're definitely pushing back on that. I'm on the board of directors of the Illinois Municipal League, and they are pushing very strongly for those cutbacks from last year to be restored in this year's budget. So,
and so, with the state under the current situation that it is, can we expect some type of response? In particular, I think I know there's that old euphemism, adding insult to injury, and that collection fee to me falls under that heading.
Well, yeah, it does. I mean, it's just another way the state's trying to cure their problems on the backs of the towns, villages, and cities of Illinois.
I mean, you collect the money, sure, but that organization's already in place.
Electronic transfer. It's not burdensome at all.
Right.
And I think what we're going to see is they're going to reduce the fee, not eliminate it, but that will help.
Because when you look at this, and one of the figures that I read published yesterday afternoon was, we're talking statewide, $1.2 billion is distributed to state and local, but we're getting a smaller slice than we did. They take the money out, and they say, well, we've got to pay state's bills. Well, our bills are the state's bills in many respects, the way I see it, especially when it comes to mandates.
Well, absolutely. It's the same old song. And, we have an election year, so they're going to be careful about enhancing revenues, in other words, raising taxes.
Another great euphemism, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. When Carbondale put on new taxes, I call them new taxes. It just is what it is. You just have to, stand up and do the right thing. But I think the state is better. There seems to, I was up there at Illinois Municipal League this past week in Springfield, and it was for 3 days, and it was lobby day in Springfield for municipalities. And there's just a better an air about the Capitol. We heard the Speaker of the Senate, Speaker of the House came to talk to our board and several other folks, and the Comptroller and the Treasurer. And there's just it feels like there's a better spirit there, more of a spirit of cooperation this year. I hope it holds.
Right.
And they can get some things done.
Well, it's interesting because, the reduction in the percentage on the collection fee, I can see as realistic, and here's why. About 3 weeks ago, maybe four, they came out in an Associated Press story saying, wow, we got more money out of this than we had anticipated. That doesn't very often happen in state estimates. But if you're saying, well, you got more than you estimated, which I'm assuming the estimate was based on need, then can't we have the overflow? I mean, that's kind of the way I see that negotiation, maybe.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right, Tom.
Why D.C., a group of Carbondale representatives in D.C. looking for funding? Funding for what, Mike?
Well, we were out there looking for, we're going to put our grant application in for the third time for the Regional Multimodal Center, which will replace the old Amtrak train station here in Carbondale. And so we were able to talk with the Amtrak people about that application. They're very, very supportive of it. We're the last city in Illinois to get one. The others up the line to Chicago have them. So we want to put that in, and it will really serve as a regional hub for all the buses and the transit systems that we see that come through Carbondale and move people around, even across over to Kentucky and Missouri. So yeah, it's really important to Carbondale and really important to our citizens.
Do you think that we've got a better chance at this swinging at this ball successfully this time around? I was surprised that we were told no the first time, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, I think it's better. Typically, that these don't get awarded till the third or fourth attempt at them. We did get a lot of good input about how to improve our application. We know that the funds, this is called the Tiger Grant, and We know that the federal government has tripled the funds for this because we have so many transportation needs in the country.
Right.
And it'll cover everything, not just train stations, but all kinds of transportation projects. So they let us know, and it was so good to meet. I mean, we met with the number two man in transportation and his staff, and had an hour-long meeting with them, and they were very gracious and told us how to help, what they would be looking for in our application and things we could do to improve it. And we feel like we're going to have a good shot this year.
Well, how much money are you asking for from the federal government for this transportation department? And is there a local need, too, to be able to get those matching funds, or we're supposed to provide 10%? What's the breakout?
Yeah. We have about $18 million project. It will be right across from the new Hilton Hotel in Carbondale and take up about half of a city block. So there's... The feds will do 80%, and we come up with 20% as a matching grant. We have the land optioned. We have everything under control here, so we're ready to go. We have preliminary design plans done, and those are the two things you have to really start with before you go anywhere else on these applications. So we'll come up with 20%. We're hoping out of that 20% that the state will come up with 60-70% of that 20.
Right. So, are you getting help from Durbin and Duckworth and Bost and Shimkus on this?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
They are all on board.
Good. All right. Are there new businesses coming to Carbondale? I've been watching a little dirt move in a couple of other towns here recently, and spring is upon us. And I was driving on a frontage road, and I saw a big red sign come up in my town, so we got a new Quick Lube moving in here. What about Carbondale? You seeing anybody new?
We've got a lot of commercial properties in play right now that have sat vacant for a while. You know, the steakhouse near Vogler's is going to be sold soon. The Godfather's Pizza building, which has been vacant for several years at East Walnut and Lewis Lane,
right.
It's under contract with an agent here.
I was thinking about that, Mike, because I was over in your town Wednesday. And I literally went back to the steakhouse. What was it? Longhorn or something?
Branch, not Long Branch.
I know it's not Long Branch. That's where I go to get coffee.
Yeah, I don't remember.
And my first thought is, damn, this is a great location. I mean, I hate to be crude, but I was. Because I go around the loop and go to the SIU campus, and I'm coming back on 13 heading back towards Carterville. And then I stop. I'm at the intersection right there where, got all the great trees there. And you look over and I see the Godfather's location. I'm thinking, man, boy, that's a great location.
Yeah, it is. And there's we think it's going to be sold. There's also the old Sears building, which is off of Giant City Road, right across the street from Kohl's, basically, on Giant City Road. There's there's an offer on that building. We've done some individuals doing a major remodel on a gas station that's been empty for years right next to Panera Bread. And they're almost finished with that. They've put all new tanks in the ground, redone the whole building. And I'm not sure what their schedule is, but that looks really good. And then, of course, we have the new car wash on Giant City Road. Man, that's quite a place.
I just saw that this past Saturday, I guess it was. So, yeah.
And then Kroger did their major remodel. If you haven't been in Kroger, I tell you what, that's an amazing store now. It looks totally different inside. And
well, I don't know how many people are going to see that because the popularity of having your groceries picked ready for you in the parking lot is really picking up. If we're sitting in the parking lot because I don't deal well with people after a certain point of the day.
So, gosh, Tom, I never heard that about you.
Yeah, but there comes a point of the day where I just want to pet my dog and have a cigarette.
I know that feeling.
Except for the cigarette. Yeah, right. So I'm sitting in the parking lot.
We have the new Culver's. We broke ground for that building at Reed Station Road and 13, and I had an opportunity to meet those folks. And, they're putting a $3 million investment in there. And one of the things I said there, knowing these others we've talked about, is, it's kind of easy to talk about doom and gloom in Southern Illinois and Carbondale in particular, but we have a lot of economic activity going on right now, and Culver's is a regional chain, a really good chain, And they have faith in the economy of Southern Illinois and of Carbondale, and, you know, it says a lot.
Mike, I was sitting with a friend yesterday afternoon, and we were talking about the pendulum that swings, prosperity, and then you go, you know, back the other way, and then you swing, and there's a pendulum, and that Southern Illinois is very often not in sync with the national pendulum. And I've always thought of it because some of it's because of the rivers and restricted access to the state on, you know, much of our area. And then you've got that from 13 down in that 13 corridor that we seem to be a little out of sync. And what I'm kind of picking up on is these businesses that are coming in, they're nationals. They're enjoying great growth across the country in many respects, low job, you know, low unemployment numbers and things along that line. Of course, people hopefully making more money at the end of that. And what I kind of hear after you talking about this is that national businesses coming into Southern Illinois growing because the national pendulum is swinging in a positive direction.
Yeah, I think that's true, absolutely. And I think, you know, some of it also is it's a natural economic cycle. A lot of these buildings are set vacant for a while, and as it sits longer, it sits, the lower the price gets on it. And it finally hits a point where it makes sense to be able to come in and refurbish that building and have an overhead that will help whatever the business is succeed.
Do you, with the theater AMC closing, because there are two, are you seeing this as a consolidation or a closing?
Well, more of a consolidation, I think. They just don't have the folks in there. And, you know, unfortunately, this is going on across the nation. The brick-and-mortar movie theaters are struggling at best. So,
well, you know, as liquor commissioner, a liquor license, I believe the place is called McGuffin's in the University Place 8?
Yeah, yeah. And that's a nice place. That's like sitting in your living room, those big lounge chairs. They feel like leather, and you can just sit them back, and that's a great place to watch a movie, and that's the one they're keeping open. So.
Right, and that's why I always kind of see, well, this one is, you know, people have different new expectations, and it won't be long, and, it, you know, you'll be able to grab a steak and watch a movie. You know, it's,
yeah,
it's only
really
a matter of time.
If that'll get real pricey with 6 or 7 grandkids. That's usually when we go see movies now is we've got grandkids from out of town that come in or something like that, or we've got a couple here in town. We go see a movie once in a while, too.
Well, that'd be the children's slider menu, I think,
yeah.
and then the other one. Was there a sense of relief when the Board of Trustees says, oh, well, we're locked up on that $5 million and we'll get a consultant to come in and see? I mean, was that a relief for you, $5.1 million not coming to your community through SIU?
Well, yeah, it was. And that, you know, if they were going to move money from SIU Carbondale's budget to Edwardsville's budget, and you can argue all day long about whether or not that needs to be done at some point, but it doesn't need to be done now. It doesn't need to be taken away from us. And so I called a press conference, and we sent mailings out to mayors, Carbondale, or other chambers of commerce throughout Southern Illinois, and we had myself and 6 or 7 other mayors there at that press conference, people from chambers of commerce up and down Route 13. We had folks from Pinckneyville, Nashville, Mount Vernon. So, and the reason I mention all that is we're a region down here, and we need to act like a region. We have common interests, and we stop this money from being moved. We also, at that right prior to the following
Mike, do you mind,
following
Mike,
that
Mike.
Prior to the board meeting, several of us folks had the opportunity to talk to the governor on Friday and ask him to fill the seat that's been vacant on the Board of Trustees, SIU Board of Trustees, for over a year. And all of our locally elected officials talked to him, and as well as me and several others. And you know what? He made the appointment, and on Monday morning, following his Friday visit here, his folks walked that over to the Secretary of State's office, and we got that trustee, who is a trustee that associated with SIU Carbondale, that we desperately needed. So, again, good folks getting together for a good cause, we can get things done.
You used the term, we stopped it.
Yes, we did.
Do you think that if you had not interceded when you did, that it would have happened?
Yes, I do. I don't think I could have stopped it by myself. You know, I think it took the group, and they came out, and we had bankers, and everybody understood the impact of this, and they came on short notice. You know, we sent emails one day, and the next day was the press conference, and it just shows that we still have a voice.
Right.
So,
All right, because there's two things. There's the 5.1 mil, and, you know, what's interesting in speaking with President Dunn shortly after that, that figure was originally 20 million.
Right.
And I think many people didn't maybe know that, and that probably should be stated, that it went to 20 to 5. And what that represents is that 5 is phase 1, and I would assume the other 15 or 10 or however incremental changes over a period of time culminating in 20. And then you do the multiplier 7, right? And you start to really cringe a little bit. It's interesting. Yesterday I was speaking with the new athletic director, Coach Jerry Kill. And as he was exiting the studio yesterday morning, I said, you know, Coach, tomorrow morning Mayor Henry's going to be on the air. And he says, he's very important for what we have to do moving forward at SIU.
Well, you know, I've always said he's a good man, so there you go. That proves it.
Right?
So it's I'm going to be the voice, and a lot of other rest of us will be too, but I'm doing what is best for Carbondale and best for SIU Carbondale, and that's just the way it's going to be. And we're going to have another rough year ahead of us here. Our enrollment's going to be a little lower, but I think the chancellor has a good plan, and I think we're going to roll it out. I'm anxious for them, for SIU, to get started marketing and really start doing this. We spent a day at Eastern Illinois University, and they have an aggressive marketing program that's doing really well. They actually picked up 1,620 students at the beginning of this spring semester that transferred into Eastern. So their marketing is working, and it'll work for us too. We just have to get there and get it done.
Let's talk about money in a greater sense today, and I'll try to keep this brief. I have a hard time explaining this sometimes, Mike, so please bear with me. Let's take a look at Carbondale. Let's consider it's a watermelon, okay? And we're in the center of it. That's where all the good stuff is in a watermelon, right? That's where all the juice is. That's where all the money is, all right? The heart of the watermelon. Got to love that, right? All right, so as we continue to walk through this, and you've been doing this for years, all right, the state takes more money, things cost more, insurance costs more. I've been talking to mayors about this. They share all the same stories, all right? We see smaller taxes return, and on top of that, insult to injury, they charge us a percentage to take our taxes and not return the money. And that's not an overstatement, an oversimplification in many ways.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so what a mayor has to do in his city council or his board of directors or his CEO or his city manager is you have to start carving away things that happen inside, which you can't carve those fire pensions, you can't carve those police pensions. And you continue to carve inside the watermelon. You say, okay, we'll do without this sidewalk. We'll buy one less police car. We'll defer some maintenance here. And you start carving. And let's take a look, because I hate the rind and that watermelon part right towards the edge, but that's the wall, the way I see it, that you have to carve inside that watermelon creatively to still make it look good, make it attractive for the people who live here. But the state is coming in with a backhoe, scooping your watermelon out. There's a wall that gets reached where the services have to be reduced, police will have to be reduced, fire, because those are some pretty expensive items, because the money's not there. I'm already hearing about communities that say, oh, we can't really afford to replace the police cars. Where is that wall for you, and how far away are we from the proverbial rind of this watermelon as everybody seems to want to carve out its heart?
Well, you know, when it's all said and done, we're in pretty good shape here. We do have fewer employees at City Hall itself. We do have fewer sworn officers on the street. But we are, as far as our police and fire go, we have very, very good folks there in both of those departments. Those pensions are a major issue for all cities to trying to keep up with those pensions. But we have actually, Carbondale has been paying, since I've been elected, a little more than the state requires on those pensions to try to retire it sooner. And we're talking about looking at the year 2050 and 2040 to retire, basically pay back the pension funds that the state has borrowed. And they're asking cities to pay that back for them. So when every payroll, we pay our pensions the way, and we always have. This other burden put on by the state is really where what's causing us so much trouble. But like I said, we've been able to pay ahead of that. we've imposed some local taxes to generate revenues to do improvements in our downtown, and a council sit there, and none of us like to raise taxes or impose new ones, but we dedicated those to community improvement projects. That's where that money goes, and it goes into a separate fund, so we as a council keep an eye on it. And that's what we're doing our streetscape improvements with downtown, and sidewalk improvements where we don't have other money able to do it, where something absolutely needs to be done. So we're not in too bad of a shape, but we are a leaner city government than we were 3 or 4 years ago.
Do you see the wall? Do you see the Rhine? Do you see the edge?
Well, it's there.
Yeah, you know it is. Yeah.
In a spot or two.
All right. Hey, you know, before we go, we got to make Amy Fox happy.
Uh-oh.
The logo and naming contest for the Halloween festival.
Yes.
You got an idea yet?
You're
not going to share it, are you?
I'm not the creative guy. That's why we've asked the whole community to do it. And I bet you we will get a whole lot of good things from,
I do too,
high school kids and SIU students, and that's what we're looking for. We're not really looking for a professional consultant like what we had with our City of Carbondale rebranding. We're wanting to get our younger folks and some of our wannabe graphic artists out there involved in this, and so we've got a $150 prize for it.
You know, I did this with a radio station here in the group, CILFM, a few years back.
Yeah.
Worked out great. A guy came up and we gave him money for this, and we did the presentation, and the item you see on the side of the CILFM van, licensed to Carbondale, Illinois, in our light radio station there, is one of those where we got that from our listeners by going out and designing one. It was really nice. I hope you have the same kind of luck.
Yeah, you never know. And Halloween's a perfect opportunity to do a logo for. I mean, it can be a lot of fun.
You can cover a lot of ground there.
I'm really anxious to see what comes in.